Crystal Lehman and Jasmine Thomas of the Beaver Lake Cree Nation and the Sekou's First Nation, respectively, were both keynote speakers at the recent PowerShift Atlantic conference in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Lehman's community, located in modern-day northern Alberta, is at the heart of the tar sands struggle, while Thomas's traditional territory stands to be intersected by proposed pipeline projects. I began the joint interview by asking Lehman and Thomas to talk about their respective communities and the impacts of industrial incursions, both real and threatened, upon their lives. For the Halifax Media Co-op, I'm Miles Howe.
I come from the Beaver Lake Cree Nation, which is Treaty 6 territory, northeast Alberta, about 2.5 hours northeast of Edmonton. My nation is located in between two of the three bitumen deposits that are in Alberta. We're on the front lines of the tar sands extraction. I guess the best way I could explain it, you know, for people that are going to read it, think about, you know, being able to skim the top of the water, you know, to take your cup or your dipper and dip into to that water, that fresh, clean water. Know, and take a drink, then picture taking that dipper and going to drink that water, and you stop yourself because you're concerned about what's in that water, because you're hearing stories of babies that are being airlifted to the urban medical centers for drinking contaminated water. You're hearing that there's boil water advisories being issued to the frontline communities. They have to boil their water before they drink it or use it. There's reports of communities that are having to time their showers before they, and then that babies can't take baths, can't sit in the water that's coming from their taps when the chemicals are high. Fish are being pulled from the water that have tumors hanging off of them. There's moose with pus bubbles under the skin, and deer with green meat. And medicines that our old people, they talk about medicines that in their purest form, untouched, pure medicine, in their purest form combined with other medicines that we take from the land, that in their purest form that they could cure cancer. But medicines like that we're having difficulty finding today, and medicines like that today that are losing the strength, the power that they had in their purest form before development came along and destroyed that. Before development came along and destroyed the life-giving abilities of our mother. That's where I'm from.
Howdy. My name is Jasmine Thomas. I come from Sykes, which is located in the heart of what is known as British Columbia. My community, along with Natgasli, Notlay, Takla, Tlasden, and the Wet'suwet'en First Nation, formed the Yunka Dene Alliance to unify our opposition against Enbridge's proposed Northern Gateway tar sands pipeline. Yunka Dene, how we identify ourselves, means people of the land. There is no distinction, there's no separation. We are one. And my community has experienced the many impacts of the forestry industry. We've seen clear cutting happening at unprecedented rates, and as people who still continue to harvest our traditional medicines and our food and our water from our territories, we have committed to do everything within our powers, be it under Canadian, international, or Indigenous laws, to do what is necessary to stop this project. In 2010, the Yunka Dene Alliance led the Save the Fraser Declaration, which brought First Nations all along the Fraser River watershed together to enact, declare under Indigenous law that tar sands, pipelines, and tanker projects will never be allowed in our watersheds and our territories. So we've been working very hard to create a movement that is inclusive of our settler brothers and sisters that share this territory with us, because we recognize that this is not just an Indigenous issue. It's not just an environmental issue. It is all of our issues. So in the work that we've been doing on the Northern Gateway Pipeline Project, trying to ensure that people are aware that there's going to be one pipeline, turn your head, there's going to be 9 or 10 more that are coming. So what can we do as potentially impacted communities to support those who are at the source of the tar sands? So Canada, now that they have the National Energy Board's recommendation, which is to approve Northern Gateway based on the national interest, Canada now has to decide in June whether they will allow the project or not. But either way, it doesn't matter what Canada decides. Over 130 First Nations from the Arctic Ocean to the U.S. have declared and banned this project from ever happening, creating an unbroken wall of opposition.
Let's talk about your community's interaction with the colonial state, which for all intents and purposes kind of appears to be a representative of industry at this point in history.
You know, even being at the source of this, what everybody is, you know, so focused on, this bitumen and this government and this industry that will stop at nothing to get it from the ground. And you know, they parade around all over the world trying to sell this bitumen, this dirty oil. You know, as Indigenous people, as First Nations people of this Turtle Island, we've endured atrocities. We've endured every kind of trial and tribulation you can think of. And still, our people are here. They're a resilient people. And our people are not going anywhere. We're here and we're not going anywhere. And I think that, you know, currently in the state that we're in right now, it gives me hope. Despite what we're facing, you know, everywhere we look, there's a new project. Just when we think we're getting somewhere, there's a new project. But instead of it bringing us down, it's actually empowering us. It's actually bringing more and more human beings to the front lines, holding the line figuratively and literally, you know, drawing that line in the tar sands. And despite these new projects, despite the expansion projects and the granting of new permits and leases, it's motivating the people looking beyond race, color, and creed, because we have this Canadian government and we have this industry to thank for bringing every piece of a perfect solidarity puzzle together. The environmentalists, the scientists, the doctors, the lawyers, the Indigenous people, the politicians, everybody. You know, the funny thing is, you know, we talk about that solidarity puzzle. The only piece that was missing to create the perfect solidarity puzzle was the First Nations people. And yet here we are today, thanks to this industry, thanks to this conservative government, they have created the perfect solidarity puzzle. They have brought every single group that you can think of together. And the last piece that was missing was the First Nations people. And then they added that piece to the puzzle. And now that the one thing that we have, the last stronghold we have in saving our environment is First Nations rights. And because of the attack that they have invoked on us as a people in this nation, it's actually lifted up the rights of Indigenous people, that one thing that they know they cannot beat. And here we are, raising that up on a platform. We're in these spaces with our visitors, our settler folk. We're in these spaces with them, and they're recognizing that. Everywhere we go, wherever we travel, settler folks there, and we're all working together collectively, and people are recognizing that. First Nations people, they're a nation. We are a nation within a nation, and people are starting to understand that, and it's waking the people up. We are coming full circle, just the way the old people said it was going to be. It's happening right now.
There was an old lady in our community. Her name was Boba. Before our settler brothers and sisters came, Boba talked about a time when the forests would turn red. People would sit on stacks of paper so high, in the end it would be worth nothing. Talked about a time when grass would grow over the water, and when that happens, it's over. And said that the last battle we will ever have will be for our water. The veins of our Mother Earth, that will be the last fight we fight. And the water is what connects each and every one of us together. Our medicines get their strength, the power to heal from the water. Without it, we're nothing. And if there's one thing that this industry has done, is awaken a nation currently on the path of energy suicide and climate destruction. A nation has awakened and come to understand that we cannot continue to work in isolation from one another. Like, our ecosystems are all connected together. It does not function alone. We all depend on each other.
As part of a settler community, it's clear now that we need to follow and we need to seek out what to do, because the system that has been brought to supposedly serve us clearly serves the interests of the industry. What would you say, what kind of advice would you give to a community that arrived here? It may well be that you're speaking to almost like a childlike mentality, like just soiling its own bed. But if possible, what advice would you give on how to proceed?
We talk about asserting our right to self-determination. We talk about asserting our rights. We talk about the simple matter of the fact is that everybody comes from somewhere. Everybody comes from somewhere. Everybody has roots somewhere. Everybody comes from the earth, wherever it might be on this globe, this Mother Earth. And our people, we understand that natural law. The settler folks need to remember that they come from somewhere, and they need to go back. And we talk about reclamation. Industry talks about reclamation. You know, reclamation for me is not land that they've gone in and they've destroyed. They've taken every living being out of that piece of land, and then tried to give back something that was never theirs in the first place. Reclamation for me is reaffirming and asserting my right to self-determination, who I am as a being that came from Mother Earth. And I think every human being, doesn't matter what color they are. They could be purple for all I care. They all come from somewhere. And they need to go back and they need to reclaim that. And to remember, if they're engaged in this dialogue, they already get it. So it's remembering that we have one thing that industry and government will never have, and that's the truth. And people need to go back and they need to find their truth. We already know what our truth is. We're asserting that. We're asserting our right to self-determination. We're asserting our right as a sovereign nation. Reclaiming And it's not even reclaiming because we never gave it up in the first place. We never ceded, leased, or surrendered our lands. But affirming our right as stewards of the land and our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, they're Indigenous too from somewhere, and they need to go back and they need to affirm that for themselves.
So to our settler brothers and sisters, recognize the territory that you're in. Learn about that history. Learn about those people that walked that land that we now share together. Too many years our identity has been erased from the history books of this country. We gotta learn about one another and find ways where we can work together. We gotta live here together and share this mother together. How, through your learning and through your understanding of what Aboriginal rights and title and Aboriginal treaties, what those embody, we aren't going to go anywhere if we don't listen to each other. First Nations leadership within this movement is critical to stopping destructive industries that isn't going to benefit anybody. Doesn't matter where they come from or what color they are. And don't hold so much guilt in your heart where it stops you from working with Indigenous peoples, because settler ancestors may have done wrong in the past. But for those who want to work with our communities, with Indigenous communities, it's not your guilt to own and to hold on your shoulders forever. I know we're all on a healing journey together, and those tears will even be a sign of healing as well. But coming to know the history of this country, I think from there we'll be able to move forward together. But regardless of what color or race we are, we can all together challenge, you know, a government that is assuming authority over a country. And we could challenge those fundamental issues.
Is there anything that either of you would like to add?
I think I just want to say that we're all involved in this for a reason. You know, I firmly believe, you know, one of our teachings is, you know, when you go about things in a good way, with good intentions, you know, our Creator, whoever that might be for you, will never leave us vulnerable. He'll test us, but he'll never leave us vulnerable. And to never ever walk away. If you walk away angry, or you walk away carrying something, that obviously means you have something here that you need to fix. And you need to do that. You need to do that, because that's not mine to carry. It's not even yours to carry. Take that anger, that sadness, that grief, that guilt, whatever it is you might be feeling. Take it, and don't use it in a negative way. Take it and do something good with it. Channel it and use it in a good, positive, kind, productive way.
Thanks a lot for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.